Extra! Extra! Paddy Power pay more places on golf than any other bookie. Just log on to paddypower.com to get sinking that each-way value. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Give them the hole!
Hi there, a warm welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. The usual team, Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Ian McLaughlin are here to look back on the Players' Championship and look ahead to two great tournaments this week. Hopefully the boys have got some winners for us, but first let's kick over the embers of last week's Players' Championship. Steve, I was down at Cheltenham, so it sort of passed me by. I love players, but Has the move from May back to March worked? Did it seem a little flat, or was it the same old great tournament it ever was as far as you were concerned?
Well, the course looked better, didn't it? More defined lines on the rough and that, a lot lusher and greener.
Mate, after I got home from Cheltenham, believe me, defined lines on a fairway was the last thing I was capable of saying.
But it just played a lot easier, didn't it? Which made it a lot more boring, I thought. Yeah, it's just a bit too easy, and it just played too soft. And obviously, Rory McIlroy fell in love with those conditions. Dustin Johnson had his best ever finish at Sawgrass as well. So yeah, it did change the complexion of the tournament a lot. No good for me. I mean, the pain continues.
What happened with Tiger? Was his neck okay? It was just his general play that wasn't up to scratch, yeah?
No, Tiger was fine. Tiger was fine. Tiger was cruising to victory till he got to the 17th hole on Friday and then hit two balls in the water. We subsequently found out that he could have dropped right next to the green. He didn't know about the new rule. He didn't need to hit the second shot in the water. He could have just dropped his ball next to the green. So he cost himself three shots with not knowing the rule book. Joe LaCava let's down a little bit there. So yeah, a quadruple bogey seven on the quadruple bogey seven on the 17th hole while you were enjoying yourself at Cheltenham. So yeah, that's where the tournament changed. Once Tiger Woods had taken that seven, it was a long way back from there.
Oh, no. And how are your spirits? Did you manage to do any in-running scrambling, or was it all...
No. Just went from bad to worse. I mean, this is what you wanted from Sky, but you want to see the pain in the eyes, and there's plenty there. So, Are you not entertained? There's a lot of pain in the eyes at the moment. It just went from bad to worse. I mean, John Rahm was the in-running play on the final round. He shot 76 on Sunday. Adrianus, he was the in play playing in Kenya, finished second. We had two players in Kenya, finished sixth and ninth. Only had two selections. No rewards there.
What was that? Where you just started shouting there? What was that a reference to?
I just reference to Gladiator. You know, he goes into the ring there, doesn't he, and gets all upset. And obviously Skype is sort of imposing on most. Emotional heartache. I just want a dark room. I want a dark room, and I've got a very light room, but don't worry about that.
Okay. Yeah. How was it for you, Ian? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I actually ended up back in Jim Furyk on Wednesday evening. Like I was telling him a couple of weeks before at the Honda. I had six already, but I had a bit of change from Cheltenham punting that day. I said, "Fuck it, I'm going to back Furyk here." So I got about 125-1. Ooh, so it was nice. Great viewing for me. Yeah, it was great viewing for me Sunday night, where he was making a real charge back to the good old days of just grinding out. It looked like he was going to grind the whole field out and just get it done. But Rory became clutch again. 17 the end. The questions are still really there. Is he playing that well on Sunday? The main rivals, Ram shot 76, Fleetwood shot 73, Jason Day's playing partner shot 72. So he almost kind of backed into this one, but a win's a win. And now all roads lead to the Masters, where any price is a good price for punters at the moment.
Excellent. Was Rory a horror for you?
He wasn't too bad. We didn't take too strong a position for or against him. I think punters were somewhat lukewarm to him pre-tournament, given his kind of troubles on Sunday the weeks previous. But once he got into contention, liability obviously always racks up. So it wasn't a terrible result, but it wasn't a great result either.
Okay, well, we've got the Masters coming up soon. When does that actually start in?
That is 3 weeks
tomorrow.
3 weeks
tomorrow. Excellent. Okay, yes. So what's the latest betting then from Paddy Power?
Yeah, so obviously Rory now heads our market at 7-1. Dustin Johnson next at 10-1. Justin Rose at 12-1. Tiger Woods 12-1. Justin Thomas 14-1. Bryson DeChambeau 16-1. John Rahm 16-1 and 18-1 bar.
Does that 7-1 Rory appeal to you, Steve?
It seems a little short. I mean, if that tee shot at the 15th had been a yard further right, it would have been in all sorts of trouble there. That 15th hole was the turning point. He could have made a double bogey if he's a yard further right, and then he makes birdie from the sand. So from there, he was fantastic, and it was a real champion's performance on 16, 17, and 18. But I don't know, it seems a little bit short. There's so many good players now, but obviously he deserves favouritism and is the most likely winner.
Steve, can we talk about Rahm? And I'm trying to word this so it doesn't sound like I'm trying to rub it in or anything, but he has a few disappointing weekends these days, doesn't he? Is his temperament okay?
Yeah, John Rahm, I mean, it was going well for 10 holes. He stayed very calm for 10 holes. He got off to a poor start, but managed to control his emotions. But on the 11th hole, he just took on a ridiculous shot from the sand, 220 yards downwind from the sand, trees in front of him, water to the right. And he tried to hook it over the water and onto the green. And that changed everything for John Rahm. He had the temerity to have a go at his caddy for putting seeds of doubt in his mind. After that shot, he blamed his caddy and said if the caddy hadn't tried to stop him hitting the shot, he would have pulled the shot off. So yeah, I think you're right. I think Rahm's temperament is questionable, and he needs to play well this week to immediately get over what happened on Sunday.
What else did you learn? Give me one more thing you took out from Sawgrass, Steve.
Eddie Pepperell is a serious player, isn't he? Eddie Pepperell finished third. He was surprised. Yeah, he looked like he surprised himself. He said he turned into Seve Ballesteros down the stretch, just holing everything. The long part on 17 was jaw-dropping stuff. So, yeah, Eddie Pepperell, very low-key character, doesn't get too carried away, but I think we need to start getting carried away. If he's finishing third in the US Tour's flagship event, the future is bright for Eddie Pepperell fans. Yeah.
He seems like someone you'd get on with, Steve. I look at his Twitter output. He's very cerebral, very thoughtful kind of guy, isn't he? He doesn't look at life necessarily in the most orthodox way. Would you fancy going out for a few jars with Eddie?
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting. I mean, he's an incredibly calm character. I mean, it was funny on the 17th hole. He held this long snake of a putt to go one shot behind, I think it was, at that stage. And, yeah, he almost fighting himself. He's so used to just keeping calm and resolute. You could see he was almost battling the joy, wanting to do a tiger fist pump and go crazy and pull his trousers down. But because that's his sort of his image. He had to keep his image and just sort of like wave the finger around for a bit. But I was really impressed with him. Yeah, I'd like to have a beer with anyone.
Would you? There's plenty of golfers I wouldn't like to be with, and I know that. But no, Eddie Pepperell seems good. Ian, what was your Sawgrass takeout?
It was a resurgence and the slowly but surely comeback of Hideki Matsuyama. He played some beautiful golf over the weekend. His ball striking is always good, really. But he put it nicely for the weekend. So I think he's one to look at going forward. He's like price of 40-1 out there for Augusta. Has a nice Augusta record, so I could see him going well at a price, and probably a price worth taking now if he plays well in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, very quickly, we'll touch upon the Kenya Open, where a very swarthy, good-looking young Italian lad, I can't remember his name, began with M, got the job done in very calm fashion. What was his name, and what do we think of him, Ian?
Guido Migliozzi. He looks a good talent now. He has no real back form bar a couple of Alps Tour wins. Now, Matt Wallace came from the Alps Tour as well. So it looks to be developing into some sort of a breeding ground. His claim to fame is he's part of this modest golf, new kind of golf investment team headed by Niall Horan from One Direction. So he was tweeting over the weekend. He was getting a lot of traction from the young girls around the world going, "No, we love you, we love you." And it was kind of like, "No, it's the golf we're talking about here." So he kind of got a bit of traction, Greedo, for maybe the wrong reasons in terms of his golfing ability. But he looks a solid player. Adji Arnaus, played some really nice golf as well in behind him. There's a lot of decent young talent in that field, so it could be kind of a form line to look to going forward. So, yeah, I was impressed with the way he finished it out, for sure.
He was quite good, wasn't he, Steve?
Yeah, very impressive. He's got a lot of bottle. He's had a lot of wins in lower grades, but then a lot of real chaff in between. So I think when he gets a chance, he often takes it. So, yeah, impressive stuff. And Adrianus will win soon. I really like the look of Adrianus. I think he might be the new John Rahm.
Wow.
Just missed a few putts on Sunday and finished second by a shot. But yeah, I think he'll win this year.
I didn't even know there was such a thing as an Alps Tour. So they just play at like Cron-sur-Sierre and lovely high altitude golf courses to that. I mean, what a way to make a living, Steve.
Yeah, it's a lot of tournaments in Spain and Italy, actually. It's a quite confusing title, that. But yeah, Matt Wallace cut his teeth there, as Ian said. And yeah, you win anywhere, it breeds confidence. And yeah, we've got to keep an eye on Guido. Great name, man, Guido.
Yeah, is that a possible runner? How long till the baby's due?
2 months, 2 months.
Could,
yeah,
Guido gate crash the naming party?
I'll drop that one in. Yeah, yeah. Guido John Palmer. Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Are we close to the name? Is it pretty much settled in stone yet?
Yeah. And okay. It's not the one you think. And after Tiger's performance last week, I'm not that bothered anymore.
All right. Well, listen, regroup, Steve. We've got two tournaments to go. You're definitely due a winner. Let's hope one comes this week.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Oh, baby.
Welcome back. Let's look at our first tournament. It's the one that takes place in America, and more specifically, Innisbrook in Florida. It's the Valspar Championship, and there's loads of big names in the field. Ian, take it away with a show from Paddy Power.
Yeah, so we're 8 places this week at the Valspar. Dustin Johnson heads are betting at 5-1. John Rahm next in at 9-1. Jason Day at 11-1. Sergio Garcia 12-1. Webb Simpson 18-1. Patrick Reed 20-1. Gary Woodland 22-1. Paul Casey 22-1. And 28-1 bar.
And what's the each way news?
8 places.
8 places. Good. Excellent. I thought you'd gone back to the 3 or 4 by the fact you didn't mention it, but we got good each way options. Steve, I think you've put 4 up, haven't you? So who's the headliner?
That's right. Gary Woodland is the headliner. Relentlessly consistent ball striker these days. He's gone 23 events without missing a cut now. He's finished runner-up twice in that streak. Finished second in the Century Tournament of Champions at the start of the year. He's looked an imminent winner all season. I think the Copperhead course is a really good fit for him. He's third in the total driving stats. He's third for greens in regulation. And this is a brutal long game assignment. I think Copperhead is just what the doctor ordered. He's a course winner. His maiden US Tour title came in the 2011 edition when it was called the Transitions Championship. He reached 15 under par to win that. An amazing score in a tournament where 4 under par has been the winning score before. 7 under par has topped the leaderboard twice before. So he destroyed that course in 2011. And 8 years on, I think he's a better player. He lives in Florida now. He can work the ball both ways. His short game is much improved. And he's matured mentally. He's been through a lot in his personal life. Very well-rounded individual. I sent you that link to that thing he did with the Down syndrome.
Wasn't it lovely?
Yeah. That was just absolute tearjerker. The best thing I've seen all year.
It was really
And if she wasn't the star of the show, Gary Woodland was. I mean, he's a really mature character now, and he's getting used to contending for prestigious titles. So, yeah, I think Copperhead course is perfect for Gary Woodland.
Okay, and who is your main fancy, Ian?
Main fancy is Brant Snedeker. Back to form last week, with an excellent fifth at Sawgrass. Led the field in greens regulation, 6th in strokes gained tee to green. As Steve mentioned, Innsbruck's going to be a true ball striking test. Has played intermittently here over the years. A couple of good beasts of form, albeit from a long time ago. As Steve mentioned, the Transitions Championship. He was 8th there in 2008, 4th in 2011. He finished 31st here last year. But looking back through it, he was 2nd through rounds 2 and 3. I was in the final group heading into Sunday. Was paired with Tiger Woods. And the whole Tiger kind of first real tournament back. His first time in contention since all his personal problems. The occasion kind of looked to affect him, and he ended up shooting 78. So I can take that 31st with a pinch of salt. Probably a bit better. You can probably up the form a little bit. Obviously back to form from last week. Likes Innisbrook. He'd be my main bet, at 45-1 this week.
Steve, who else are you putting up?
Next best is Sergio Garcia. He won the 2008 Players' Championship on a tough Florida track. He would have won the Valspar last year if his putter had behaved a little bit better. He topped the tee to green stats in the Valspar last year, finished 4th. But that was his 4th consecutive top 20 in the Valspar. There's arguably not a course on the US Tour that suits him better than Copperhead. It's tight, it's fiddly, lots of dog legs. Crisp ball striking is the key, course management. Valderrama is Garcia's favourite track, and Copperhead places similar demands on on the players. And Garcia's form's great, apart from that infamous meltdown in Saudi Arabia where he lost his head for reasons nobody quite knows why. If you take that out of the equation, his form figures since the Ryder Cup are 1-2-9-6-7-3-37-6-9-22. Closed with a 67 at Sawgrass on Sunday and crucially putted really well. So if he can putt like that in the Valspar and marry that with his typically imperious ball striking, then I think Garcia could be the man to beat. So yeah, Woodland and Garcia are the two strongest bets.
And then who else do you like, Steve?
Then I've got two more. Jason Cockrack. Ian was on him last week. Jason Cockrack's got form around here. He's finished 7th and 8th here. Sawgrass with his 16th consecutive tournament where he's been playing at the weekend. He's been making cuts for fun. Now he's hunting a maiden US Tour title. He's won a Web.com Tour event in Florida. His record in Florida generally is fantastic. So Jason Cockrack, another chance for a maiden victory. And Louis Oosthuizen is the final one. I've got four against the field. Louis Oosthuizen, 2010 Open champion. He's finished 2nd in 4 majors since. Difficult courses. Difficult courses is where Oosthuizen thrives. The Valspar venue certainly fits that category. He's 2nd on the US Tour total driving stats. That's a key stat this week. And he's putting better. He changed his stance a few months ago. Won the South African Open by 6 shots. Really impressive putting performance. And although disappointing finish at Sawgrass last week, he finished well. 4 under par, closing 9. And he's got Valspar form since the renovation. They renovated the course prior to 2016. He was 7th in 2016 and 16th last year. So, yeah, Oosthuizen entitled to go well.
Okay, and Ian, how many more have you got for us?
I've got 3 more. Next best is Jason Cockrack. I'm giving him one more chance this week. Finished 47th in the end last week at Sawgrass. As I've mentioned in previous weeks, his long game has been in excellent form. Innisbrooks, as I said, is a true test of ball striking. Has played well here in recent years, 14th in 2014, 7th in 2015, 8th here last year. Best price of 50-1 still out there. I'm playing that each way. The first outsider, outsider in terms of price, is Russell Knox. 35th in the end last week at Sawgrass, struck the ball really well. 6th in driver and accuracy, 20th in greens regulation. Having a solid season so far, 18th in the Desert Classic, 10th in the Phoenix Open, 14th at Pebble Beach, the highlights. Patchy enough record at Innisbrook, 16th last year, being the best piece of form. I think he's playing nicely. I'll take a chance on at 6-6-1 this week. And the second outsider is Kyung-Hoon Lee. Young Korean player slowly coming into some form. His tee to green figures have been really impressive in the last 3 weeks. When he was 25th at the Genesis Open, he led the field in strokes gained approach. Was a really good 7 at the Honda Classic. Was 3rd in strokes gained tee to green. So obviously striking his ball really well. With the long game being in such good shape coming to a course that demands a great long game, I think he was worth a small each way play at 151 this week.
That's KH Lee.
Okay. That's it.
Excellent. Anything else you want to point out? Let's just quickly chat about the three at the top of the market. Dustin, Johnny Rahm and Jason Day. Steve, who do you think's got the best and worst chance out of those three?
Well, Dustin was good last week. 5th at Sawgrass for him is a fantastic bit of form. Obviously having a good season, but he hasn't played Cophead since 2010. I think he's only playing this week because the US Tour rule that you have to play a tournament you haven't played for a few years each year. You have to add one to your schedule.
I didn't know that. That's good.
Yeah. So I think they've sort of bullied him into playing this one. I'm not sure he'll be highly motivated, but could win, but very short price.
Okay. And Ian, tell me about Rahm and Day, because they're single figures, aren't they?
Yeah, Rahm, look, I can let him go off at 9-1, given what happened at the weekend. Like, I put a big black mark against him, what happened at the 11th hole there. If you can see, I think the PGA Tour took down the video. It was just a really belligerent kind of, I know best. His caddy is one of the best caddies out there. And he kind of just goes, well, off you go. I have this covered. And then blames him for actually hitting the poor shot. So I think his mental space could be affected for a few weeks. And at 9-1, I'm happy to oppose him. Jason Day played really nicely for 3 rounds in the players. Didn't really get in anything going on the Sunday. 11-1 again. Like, he went off, what did he go off last week? He went off close to 40-1 last week. 11-1 again. I can let him go off at that price. He wins. I'm not too fussed, to be honest.
I've got Jason Day right up there on my list of golfers. I find it hard to catch right. When you think they're going to go well, they don't. When you don't, they do. Which golfer would you say epitomises that more than any, Steve?
I think you might be right. I think they're now alone with Jason Day. You never know what sort of state, health state he's going to turn up in. To pull out after 6 holes at Bay Hill and then the following week contend at Sawgrass. I mean, yeah, for those who backed him at Bay Hill, was a bit of a punch in the teeth. Is that an expression?
That'll do. We understand it.
I felt a little bit cheated by Jason Day, because he pulls out from Bay Hill after 6 holes. He goes swanning around Disney World for a few days, and then he goes
Disney World. Like, I thought he had vertigo.
Yeah.
He went to Disney World after pulling out of Bay Hill, having a whale of a time with his family. You know, cost me a couple of grand. And then he goes and looks full of beans at Sawgrass. So yeah, I have a loathing for Jason Day at the moment.
Oh, you can't loathe him. I remember I read a beautiful thing that I think it was a letter that he wrote to, or he would have written to himself when his dad died when he was young. It was really touching. It was lovely. So I cut him a hell of a lot of slack on that. Ian, have you got any top 20s, top 50s? You normally like one of them, don't you?
Top 50s. No, nothing this week. I'm happy with the four outright bets this week.
Okay, let's move on to the Maybank Championship next.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+,
begambleaware.org. Be the right club today!
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin. And we are looking at the European Tour event, which takes place in Malaysia. It's the Maybank Championship. Now, Steve, before we get the betting and the selections, I'm looking at the lineup here and I'm getting a little concerned about the European Tour just in terms of the quality. I mean, tournaments like this, they're just, who are all these people? There's no one with any charisma. There's no one who resonates with the betting public. They could virtually all, with the exception of the favourite, walk past you in a supermarket and you wouldn't recognise them. Well, you would, because you know more about golf than we do. But do you get where I'm coming from, Steve? I just think European Tour is at a bit of a low ebb.
Yeah, I do get where you're coming from. I don't think there'd be many people getting up at 3:30 a.m. like me on Thursday and following the first round. The time in the calendar is not ideal. You know, Masters on the horizon. None of the big guns are going to be messing around in Malaysia with the Masters creeping up, when you've got a much better tournament, much bigger purse, much better preparation for the Masters is the Valspar, isn't it?
But a lot of the Fitzpatricks and the Fleetwoods and the like, have they turned their back permanently on Europe, or are they just popping over for the biggies?
They're all mercenaries, aren't they? I mean, the Saudi International, that's a rubbish tournament, you know, a rubbish course in the middle of nowhere. But they all turned up for that because the money was so high. So, if you wave enough money around, they'll come. They'll come. They'll go wherever you want. You can have one in. You can have the Outer Mongolia Open, and you had a purse for $20 million, the Outer Mongolia Open, they'd all be there like a shot. Okay. Mercenaries.
Well, a winner is a winner, regardless of whether they're famous or unknown. So let's get stuck in and see who the lads fancy. First of all, though, Ian, what's the latest betting?
Yeah, so we're 7 places this week in Malaysia. Thomas Peters heads are betting a 14-1. Jorge Campillo next in the 18-1. Fabrizio Zanotti 20-1. Ryan Fox 20-1. Adji Arnaz 25-1. Thomas Detry 25-1. Michael Lorenzo Vera 25-1. And 28-1 bar.
How many are you putting up, Ian?
I have three.
Three. We'll go on. Give us your main one.
Yeah, main one is Mikko Korhonen. Steadily improving the past few weeks in the European Tour. 44th in Saudi, 31st in Oman, 18th in Qatar. Played really well, tee to green in Qatar, ranked 7th in driving accuracy, 1st in greens of regulation. Obviously, his long game's in great form. One appearance at Sivjana Golf Club, 20th here last year. I thought 51 looked a nice each-way play this week.
And Steve, your main tip?
Jason Scrivener. I thought Jason Scrivener was the best value. Accurate, improving Australian, turns 30 next month. He's won on the Australasian Tour and has been threatening European Tour breakthrough for a few years now. Great record in the Hong Kong Open, which I think is a good form guide this week. Hong Kong Golf Club has plenty of similarities to Saujana, where we are this week. Scrivener's finished 3rd, 10th and 3rd in the 3 Hong Kong Open spins. So I see that form translating well to the Palm course this week. He's not missed a cut, like Woodland, really. He's not missed a cut since the British Masters in October. So Scrivener's full of consistency at the moment. Ended last year strongly. Started this year well, too. 7th in the Dubai Desert Classic. 5th in the Vic Open. Just outside the top 100 in the world rankings now. So I like Scrivener on this track.
And Steve, there's an angle there. I saw an excellent caption that Sky put up during the Kenya Open. 58% of European Tour victors, going back for quite a long time now, have been under the age of 30.
Blimey. Now that is a good stat, isn't it? Yeah, so he hasn't got much time to get that first win.
No, but it could be absolutely perfect.
Good stat. You had a good Saturday afternoon sitting there watching the Kenya Open, and was that when Cheltenham
Sunday?
Finished,
no, it was Sunday morning. I watched that. I think it was just who was it who played that shot against the tree and back towards the green? Was that the eventual winner? I think it was, wasn't it?
Is that Guido? I'm not sure.
Did you see that?
I didn't see that shot. I was watching it now. I must have nipped out for my breakfast or something then.
That's incredible. So basically, he's right up against the tree, but he's got no shot. So he had to smash it into the tree and back towards the green. It was brilliant, it was. I think it was Guido. It was very good. Right, so as well as... who have you put up?
Mikko Korhonen.
Oh, yeah, as well as Mikko Korhonen. And who are the other two? You're like, sorry.
Next one is Jazz Janawatanand. Has put up a really strong finishes across the Australian and Asian tours over the past 3 months. His form figures read 3-2-5 win, 27, 13, 4th. That 4 was in the New Zealand Open 3 weeks ago, included weekend rounds of 66 and 64. Two appearances at Saujana, missed cut in 2017, was 39th last year. I think he can continue his really good form around 40-1 this week. And the outsider is Minwoo Lee, potential star in the making. 4th in the Saudi International was his real breakout performance. We put him up in the World Super 6 here. He was knocked out in the quarterfinals, close one match away from a payout. Had the scalp of tournament favourite, Thomas Peters, in the round of 16. So he's confident in those kind of big time situations. 20th in the Qatar Masters 2 weeks ago was a really solid performance, kind of perked up my interest in him again. One of the more unexposed players in the field. He completed my staking plan this week at around 66-1.
And Steve, who completes your staking plan?
I got 4 more, so we'll rattle through them as quickly as possible. Fabrizio Zanotti, arguably the most solid golf bet of the week. So difficult to imagine him being out of the frame. He won this tournament 2 years ago, final round 63, loves the course. That win came after 3 missed cuts on the European Tour, so he's low on confidence, yet turned up and won. This time, self-belief very high, form figures 15, 32, 29, 24, 2-11 from his last 6 events. Very close to winning the Oman Open a little while ago. Other selections, Gaganjeet Bula. Prolific champion on the Asian Tour. Now he's settled on the European Tour after winning the Fiji International in August to get the gig. Started this year in solid form. 5th in the Kenya Open on Sunday. 20-27 in the Maybank the last 2 years. Accurate player. Sets up well from Saujana. Jazz Janawatanand, as discussed by Ian, 3-time Asian Tour champion, only 23, won the Singapore Open. He won the Singapore Open in January. That was a good field. Paul Casey was in that. Matt Fitzpatrick, Sergio Garcia. Closed with a 64 last time out in the New Zealand Open. And Gavin Green is the final one. The local hero, Kuala Lumpur born, has won multiple trophies at Saujana in his amateur days. Won the Asian Tour Order of Merit in 2017. Solid European Tour rookie campaign and entitled to go very well on his home track.
God, you did rattle through them there, didn't you? Okay, excellent. Right then, let's get the solemn recap of this week's selections. We'll start with the Valspar Championship. Steve?
Yeah, I'll do it very solemn this week. What's it called? Solemn, very solemn. Yeah. I am feeling solemn at the moment. Gary Woodland, Sergio Garcia, Jason Cockrack.
Go on,
Louis. Louis Oosthuizen.
you've taken solemnity to a new level there. Blimey, that was incredible.
It's so solemn, I fell to silence. I mean, that silence is the ultimate of solemnity. Is that it? Solemnity? Is that a word?
Solemnity. Yeah.
Solemnity, what a fantastic word. Yeah, surely silence is the ultimate in solemnity, isn't it?
You'd love a silent world, wouldn't you?
When Steve used
to deign to come to the office in, honestly, anyone who made any noise, he just tart and perish the thought if anyone whistled on it. Steve would go absolutely, you just see him silently seething while people were whistling at work. Mind you, whistling at work is rubbish, isn't it? Ian, if you can just tell us who you fancy in the Valspar, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's tricky to do them solemn after Steve's ones each week because they crack me up. So I'll try it now. Brand Snedeker, Jason Cockrack, Russell Knox.
That was pretty solemn. Oh, is there another one? Oh,
I was doing the silence.
Do the other one.
Kyung Hoon Lee.
Okay. And the Maybank Championship fancy, Steve.
Jason Scrivener. Fabrizio Zanotti. Gaganjeet Bula. This would be a good one. Jazz Jenna Watananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananan
and Ian.
Mikko Korhonen, Jazz Janawatanand, Minwoo Lee.
Brilliant. And if you were having one golf bet this week, Steve, who would it be?
Well, we've both got Jazz Janawatanand, don't we? So let's go for him for a change. I normally suggest the each-way double. Gary Woodland and Jason Scrimner are each-way double fans. But, there's a lot of passion and pride behind Jazz Janawatanand this week, isn't there?
Okay. And Ian, who would your one bet be?
I would say I'll go Jason Colcrack in the Valspar.
Jason Carter, and you've both put him up as well.
There you go. Come on, let's work as a team this week. Jazz and Jason. Oh, it's got a lovely ring to it, isn't it?
Each way double. Jazz and Jason. Steve, your pecker's back up, isn't it? That's great.
pecker's through the roof. There it goes.
What are the plans for the next few days, Steve? Just get it, because the times are terrible for this. They're virtually playing golf 24/7, aren't they, for 4 days?
They are, and I'm home alone at the moment. My wife and child are in Disneyland, Paris. So,
lovely.
Yeah, it gives me a chance to fully immerse myself in the golf. I mean, I normally do anyway, but...
Did you not get invited?
I wasn't invited on that one. No, mother-in-law organised that one and didn't get an invite, but we won't go into that.
Oh, fair enough. So you're just going to basically just live, breathe, eat and sleep golf, yeah?
Yeah. I got a family pack of T-bone steak roysters, my favourite crisps. And I'm looking forward to getting through them, watching the golf. Yeah,
smash
3:30 a.m. It starts, doesn't it, on Thursday night?
You don't have to watch that, do you?
Yeah. Do my best thinking at 3:30 a.m.
Okay, and Ian, what have you got lined up? Any nice stuff?
No, I'm just working all week for the Valspar now. I'm in kind of 11, 12 o'clock starts each day, so it's not too bad. So,
what's the next thing in your life that you're looking forward to?
Next thing in my life. Probably around the golf next week. Start of next week, probably get out on the golf course. That's how mundane my life is at the moment. Round of golf.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that
at all. What are you next looking forward to, Steve?
Having a winner. Yeah. When Jazz Janawatanand lifts the trophy, that will be...
I was thinking short term. Anything in the next...
That's very good, very good, very good.
Righto, chaps, thank you very much indeed. We're back next week. We are looking ahead to the Hero Indian Open and the WGC Dell Technologies match play in Austin. Oh, that'll be good. I'm back tomorrow for a look ahead to the Euro 2020 qualifiers in football, and we've got racing on Friday. Hopefully you can join us for those.
Extra, extra. Paddy Power pay more places on golf than any other bookie. Just log on to paddypower.com to get sinking that each way value. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Light the candle, Tiger!